Okay, we got Dr. Dottori, a.k.a. Deep Sea, which is well-deserved. Got one Guinness World Record. We're about to get two in 26 when you go to space, which I can't wait to talk about. 28 years in the Navy and wrote part of the Navy manual, or rewrote part of the Navy manual.
Wow.
An honor to have you on, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. No, it's great to be here.
I hate to jump to this right away, but with all the UFOs popping up in India with their alien bodies, go to the tab two. So what you have planned in 2026 is get up there to space. That's not working.
I wonder how you know that particular thing.
Just a wild guess. Off the planet.
Little birdie.
So yeah. Tell us about Off the Planet.
Yeah. So I have, since I was a small kid, wanted to be an astronaut. So I joined the Navy and I worked my way up and I got commissioned. And then I was a special operations officer, and divers are kind of like astronauts. Same, only different. And I was like, okay, I'm not getting there through NASA, through the conventional routes, but you know, there's another way to get there from here. I don't know what that is, but basically what I want to do, my lifetime goal, and that's right here, my lifetime goal, here's my dream sheet, right? I want to make aquanauts and astronauts' lives more safe. That's it. So perform studies to make aquanauts, astronauts, undersea structures, and submersibles safer. And that's it. I mean, but you got to have a vision in life, and that's what I want to do. So I want to get to space, do this biomedical research on the human, get people to understand what's going on physically and physiologically, and then put it out there. So basically, you got to train like you fight, fight like you train. So send me to space. We'll do all that.
Can't wait. Yeah. And we'll have you on, if you have time, 15 more times as you work your way to do it, because I know you'll be able to do it. Now, do you think those aliens that India had put out, do you think that's real, or do you think they're just trying to, you know, be ahead of the game?
I honestly think that for this planet, we, for us to think that we're alone in the universe of stars is simply a myopic sort of a discussion. Now, do I think there are aliens living on Earth? No, I just don't. There's no preponderance of evidence that suggests that. However, I believe that we're not alone in the universe. So, you know, that being said, could it happen? Yes. Do I believe that those things are real? I believe 100% of what I can see and touch, and I'm not seeing and touching them yet.
Hey, I'm right with you. I'm right with you, and I'm with Dr. Hoffman. Another thing that you do, before we get to some really cool stuff that I know you would want to address as well as I, is the pollution in the ocean. I know the position you've taken with it and all the things you've tried to do. When people recycle, is it true that we just say we recycle it and then send it to China and China either burns it or just dumps it in the ocean?
Yeah, I don't exactly know where this particular trash from, I live in Florida, right? So I'm in Tampa, Florida. So I've seen them come by. Once we put out two pans, right? We put out the red, the green can and the blue can. I see them come by, pick up the blue can, which is trash. And then they pick up the green can and they throw it in the same thing as it. And I'm like, why are we even separating? Why are we even separating? You're going to throw it all in the same cart. It makes me nuts, right? And the solution to pollution is not dilution, right? So we got to change our mindset. Start taking care of the thing that gives us 70% of the oxygen in the world, because oxygen we need, right?
Kind of need that.
Physiologically, we kind of need it.
So when they're polluting with all that, like what I've noticed is mental health issues, and it could be from other things as well, but mental health issues, physical issues, issues that when you and I were growing up, or Rob and I were growing up, they were here and there, but they weren't all over the place. How much of an effect of the more cancer, the more disease, the more issues do you think is from, because if you throw that plastic in the ocean, an animal is going to eat it, or is going to get it, and somehow, some way it comes back to us. And I don't think people realize somehow, that.
Somehow, some way, it's really easy. The microplastics go in the water. The fish and the invertebrates, everything on the bottom, the benthic eaters eat that. And then the fish eat the benthic eaters. It is inevitable. We are eating, we are devouring more plastics. There are more things in our water. Every time you throw a bottle of pills in the toilet, everything goes to the ocean. So you wind up getting this, oh, you can't pull that stuff out. So these high levels of drugs are being dumped in the ocean. And yeah, it's, we need to just take better care of it, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. We need to take better care of it. And that'll be our drinking supply, our eating supply. You know, everybody thinks, oh, it's not a big deal. It's just plastic in the water. But wait, we eat the fish that come out of that water, and the fish don't know whether or not the thing is. I'm going to eat that. That looks good. The invertebrates, they're benthic feeders. They literally eat junk off the bottom. That's microplastic. We're having a problem with this.
When did you see a change? You know, I remember as a kid, I'm not that terribly old, but I remember my dad getting milk, and it came in a glass container. And now everything we can possibly think of comes in plastic. Every single thing you buy is plastic. When was there this shift to plastic, 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 plastic? And is there a way to go back to, let's say, the old days where you have maybe more metal cans and maybe glass containers? Or is it just not, you can't do it, it's too cost effective?
Yeah, remember even Coca-Cola used to have Coke in glass back in the day.
No, I mean, I think glass is the way to go as opposed to you know, a tin can or something. Yeah. So I think you're going to get more bang for your buck out of glass. But, you know, you got to invest in that, and somebody has to make a generalized shift. I remember that in the 70s. You're 100% right. In the 70s,
glass
everything, man. It was glass everything.
Glass everything.
And then you turn it back in, and then they refill it and wash it, and then they had problems sterilizing it. And it's just easier because I'm generation now. I want it right now. I don't want to have to wait. I don't want to have to turn my bottles in, get them clean. You know, that's too much for me. Let the other people do that. Guess what? We are the other people, guys.
Yeah,
it's wild. Yeah. And you're president of the Undersea Oxygen Clinic, and that's helping a lot with PTSD, CTE, many other things. And we had a friend that he had PTSD really bad, and he blew his, I had talked to him, and 5 minutes later he blew his head off. And I see what you're doing, and it was horrible. And the problem with him, and what you're doing is great, and I like you to explain it, but like with him, his name was John, and we would say, John, hey, why don't you, here, like, here's another Marine, he'll take you, he'll help you. No, I don't need him, I'm tough. You know, how do you get to these honorable individuals that they don't want anybody's help, you know, and then something goes wrong, and then something like that happens?
Yeah. No, so look, we lose men at 3-1 over women. No offense, I'm not trying, but that's the statistics, right? Why? Toughen up, buttercup. Oh, you need a box of harden up, princess. Why? Because the man's got to be, I got to be a man. You know, and we're always taught, deal with it. Just deal with it. Just do your damn job and deal with it. Well, these guys, here's Joe's opinion. I believe that we can make these people better because I spent 28 years as a special operations Navy diver and engineering duty diver, right? So when they come in here, I talk to them peer to peer. I'm like, look, brother, you spilled blood in the same mud as I did, right? And then I got out. Thank God I was afforded the opportunity. I went back to college. I did good things, and I'm trying to help, right? So I'm here to help, and you can, like, rely upon me. I'm not some schnook that's been in college my entire life. I didn't just go to med school and do whatever. I did what you did, and now I'm trying to help. And they get it, right? They get it. And they're like, thank you, thank you, thank you. So that's what we need, is more brothers helping brothers, sisters helping sisters. I mean, you know, my whole clinic has nothing but SkillsBridge kids in it that are transitioning out of the military, that are learning a new job, hyperbaric medicine, so that they can go off and make money at that and treat their brethren, you know?
That's awesome. And that was the thing. When COVID hit, they had cut his overtime at the VA. And that was his home. He didn't want the money. That was the only place where he felt home. Because in a mission, he had left the, they were in the Cold War, and he was the head of five guys, and one guy, you know, passed away. And if they would have gone back and got that one guy, they would have all been dead. And he just couldn't get over it. He was the head, and he couldn't bring a body back. And Rob will tell you, you know, we knew him a long time, and he just never got over that one thing. But then when they took the VA, like you're saying, you bring your brothers together, and you know, you get through it together. But when they cut his, where he couldn't volunteer at the VA, that was it. So your method, I'm witness to that. Your method of what you're saying, it worked until the, you know, the bullshit that they pulled.
Let me tell you, sure. I want to get a nickel back on that. Like, you guys need to understand that that's a heavy load that you just took. Like, he gave that load to you. Now you guys are carrying that load. So do you have PTSD?
Yeah,
you do. So just acknowledge that. And like, everybody's like, whoa, you didn't see combat, you don't have PTSD. Really? That's not the way it works. You're in the military, you have PTSD. You had a friend that was in the military and he killed himself. You have PTSD. Let's stop belittling it. Let's stop, oh, hold on, it has to be qualified with this sort of a war veteran. You have to have killed three people in order to make that. No. So just be kinder to one another. And, you know, we can work through this together, man.
Let's face it. After a night with drinks, I don't bounce back the next day like I used to. I have to make a choice, either a great night or a great next day. That is until I found Z-Biotics. We all have busy lives these days and can't afford to waste the day stuck on the couch because of a few drinks the night before. Z-Biotics is the answer we've all been looking for. Z-Biotics pre-alcohol probiotic is the first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. Z-Biotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. It's designed to work like your liver, but in your gut, where you need it most. Just remember to drink Z-Biotics before drinking alcohol. Drink responsibly and get a good night's sleep to feel your best tomorrow. Order Z-Biotics now for your summertime barbecue, weddings, vacations, you name it. Go to zbiotics.com/mscsmedia or scan the QR code on the screen right now to get 15% off your first order when you use mscsmedia checkout. You can also sign up for a subscription using my code so you can stay prepared no matter the time or occasion. Z-Biotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're ever unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, head to zbiotics.com/mscsmedia, use the code MSCSmedia at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, Z-Biotics, for sponsoring this episode. This episode is brought to you by Let's Get Checked. Are you the man your father was? Recent studies have shown that men's testosterone levels have dropped substantially since the 1980s at about an average of 1% per year. Think about how old your father was when he was born. For example, if he was 30, your testosterone levels could be 30% lower than his. Low testosterone levels can have all type of health effects on men. It can affect your mood, sex drive, memory, muscle mass loss, you name it. And yes, low testosterone is more common the older you get, but it can affect men at any age. So let's talk about today's sponsor, Let's Get Checked. You can order a testing kit that will be delivered to you in a discreet packaging with next day delivery. Once your sample arrives in the laboratory, confidential results will be available from your secure online account within 2 to 5 days. So if you want to test your hormone levels without having to leave your home, visit trylgc.com/MSCSmedia and get 25% off your test using the code MSCSmedia. The link is in the description at the top.
That's a great point. Mm-hmm. That is a great point. Instead of making it so bad, yeah, I got PTSD, so what? It's not the end of the world. That's a great point, sir. That's a great point. Awesome. Can you tell
me more about the oxygen clinic and the chambers? Because, you know, one day you have red light, blue light, everything. Yeah, you got new I'm stuff all the time. So, yeah, could you tell me about this, what it really is from the men of all men that know this kind of stuff?
Yeah. So I have hyperbaric chambers here, and that's where my clinical research is in. So I run the hyperbaric chamber facility here. I have medical doctors that work for me. They write prescriptions because oxygen is a prescriptable drug. And then we treat people for hyperbaric conditions. Most of those conditions are centered around the 14 approved indications. However, we can use it off-label, or the doctors can prescribe it off-label, and that's just fine. And I don't take insurance, so it doesn't really matter. And also, I do a lot of pro bono sort of treatments. A guy just called me Friday he called me. Navy diver. He hooked up. Do you guys know what a primary effluent tank is?
Mm.
Pet? Well, that's the connection to the coolant off the submarine that cools the nuclear reactor. So he used to be the primary PET tank, PET hookup guy, and he would hook that up. Well, you get exposed to a lot more radiation, a lot more, and they've been treating him. VA treated him, and they still haven't fixed him yet. And the guy called me. He's like, hey, doc, I'm out. You know, it's miserable. They won't keep treating me. And I said, I don't care. Come. I said, just come. You get a hotel. I don't care. I can't put you up in my house, but you come, you get treated. People don't walk out of here. See, this is the thing. They're like, you can't do that. I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure I can give anybody anything I want. So I'm pretty sure that you, VA, have no fault as to what I do out of the generosity of my heart. So go
for you, man. Hell yeah, yeah. Man. Yeah.
So awesome. I get guys here when they come in here, you know, Green Berets, military guys, you know, served in whatever. They come to me on 11 medications. Now I have a whole team. This is not just Joe DeTore, right? I have a whole team of really smart people, right? Structural energetic therapists, cognitive behavioral therapists, physical therapists, medical doctors. We issue polypeptides. I mean, we do like the entire run-up. People come in here on 11 meds from the VA.
And I'm
something to wake you up in the morning, something to eat. Is the pain in the afternoon, something to help with it.
Joe,
it's something
like
to go to sleep at night.
Is that thing like this because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and it's got 5 lines.
And I'm thinking to myself, okay, docs, all my 11 docs, I pull them all together. I said, we don't need this. This negatively interacts with this. Why would you be on both of those? This one.
I bet they love you.
We take them off of 11 drugs, and we put them back on a workout regimen. We get them back to taking care of themselves, because I can't care more about your health than you care about your health, right? So here we are pushing down this road. And when we take these guys after a period of a month, and we take them off of every drug they've been on, and they're like, dude, I don't know what you did to me. And the wives come to me, and the 9-year-old kid comes to me and goes, you saved my daddy's life. I'm like,
shit,
I'm done, man.
Yeah.
I don't care. Yeah. I don't care anymore.
Money can't
buy
that.
We're working it. We're doing it. Money can't buy that. No way.
Yeah, that's awesome. I saw a pull up tab 3. I saw a lot of singers doing it too. Like, I know Justin Bieber does it. A lot of singers are doing it. Now, how does that help them?
So how does that help the singers?
Yeah.
Look, it's oxygen, and it helps you to recover from whatever it is that you happen to be doing. The oxygen is the essential thing that you need to run the Krebs cycle, right? Basically, you're making this adenosine diphosphate, adenosine triphosphate. You're doing it over and over and over and over, and that's called cellular respiration. That is increased, made better by increasing the oxygen concentration, right? So I can ramp up your metabolism while you're in there.
Wow.
So some of the mechanism of action of hyperbaric medicine, it's a very powerful anti-inflammatory, right? A very powerful anti-inflammatory. Wait, you're in systemic inflammatory response. Why? Do you remember all during COVID, everybody was like running around in this inflamed state, and they're like, well, the oxygen's not transporting. I mean, think about COVID. The oxygen's not transporting. I'm taking the O2 sat, and it says 50%. On the little finger meter.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Because you're not getting enough oxygen. Why? Because you're cellularly inflamed. So we can reduce the inflammation and get you the oxygen. Why are we still talking? Why are you not getting in the chamber, right? Like, what? I mean, there's a couple of things you have to look for, a couple of things you have to watch out for. Long COVID. We're treating long COVID here, and it's working so well that the workman's comp, workman's comp for police and fire, workman's comp doesn't pay anything. Workman's comp is paying us to treat the policeman and fireman.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, we've had a couple of people in that they got the long COVID. doctors, others, and you know they're still there, but they lose their train of thought quick. You know, rather quick.
Yeah,
Dr. Dottori, I remember the first time I heard about hyperbaric chamber. I'm a big football fan, so big Eagles fan, and Terrell Owens back in the Super Bowl. He broke his leg like
after he missed the pass.
Yeah, he broke his leg like 5 weeks before the Super Bowl. Broken leg, they're like, he's done. He's out for the, you know, he's not playing the Super Bowl. And he did a lot of hyperbaric chamber stuff. That's the first like I really ever heard of this. How does it really help? I mean, I've heard some success stories, and of course you have probably multiple success stories. Exactly how does that work? Like how does it like do it?
So basically, just to be perfectly clear, hyperbaric oxygen doesn't cure anything. Okay. What hyperbaric oxygen does is it gives your body the tools that it needs to heal itself. The body wants to heal. That's what it does. Now, in the case of bone, so he was on a lot of things called osteoblast build bone, osteoclast break down bone. So he was on a lot of things that would build up bone. Mm-hmm. You know, he's trying to weight bear. He's trying to continue to work so that he can get blood. When you increase blood flow to an area, you're not looking to increase blood flow. You're looking to increase oxygen flow. Why? Because oxygen is cellular metabolism, right? Yeah. So you're looking to have all of these things working, moving, doing the right thing, right? And when you're in this inflammation stage or when you're in like a broken bone area, you're getting poorly perfused tissue. So you need to get better, more oxygen in there. And that's what we're doing. So is that perfectly proven and peer reviewed papers and study? No, for broken bones? No way. Absolutely not. Does it work? Yeah. It makes you feel better for sure. Feel better quicker. I can heal you 40% faster with a 30% reduction in infection on any open wound in your body, any open. Right? Just anyone. Now, does that mean it's indicated if you get a little cut right here? No, probably not. But if you got a pretty nasty cut and it's not healing, oh, come on. Come on. We can heal you 40% faster than you would have before, you know? And I mean, people like, oh, we'll just surround the wound with oxygen. That's not the way it works, right? You have to breathe oxygen in. It's a wonky sort of a thing. I metabolize oxygen by breathing it in. It goes through the lungs, goes down. You do the alveolar gas equation. It pushes out. But here's the key to hyperbaric medicine. What transports oxygen in the human body? Hemoglobin. And hemoglobin in the grand scheme of things are this big, mm-hmm. right? That they only transport 4 molecules of oxygen apiece, right? That's how much, you know, and you have a billion of them. So, but when we use hyperbaric oxygen, I can shrink down and make the oxygen carryable by the plasma. Now, the plasma is this big. Hemoglobin is this big. Plasma is this big.
Yeah.
If the plasma, which weeps everywhere, right? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if I can give you enough oxygen in your plasma to support cellular respiration, I can oxygenate your body.
Wow.
It's physics.
Yeah,
it has to work. It's physics. Right. We used to do in 1956, they had this study called Life Without Blood, where they exsanguinated a whole bunch of pigs and they said, hey, can we actually treat them in the chamber? Can they live at 3.0 ATA, 100% oxygen? Can they live without red blood cells? Yes, they can.
Holy
wait a minute.
Shit. Well, that just ruins every medical book in the planet.
Yeah. But see, this is not a new thing. It's been around since 1640, for crying out loud. Oh, I mean, this is ridiculous. We treated the flu of 1918 in hyperbaric chambers. But you know, the problem is that physics and physiology and our understanding of things, we didn't catch up to the new age in the hyperbaric world until recently. We couldn't figure out the mechanism of action or why it actually worked. So it looks like voodoo black magic. And look, I'm a scientist, right? So I'm like, look, science wins over BS every time, right?
Right.
And most people just run their mouth and they just do BS. But we're now at the point where we're able to quantify the mechanism of action of hyperbaric medicine and point it to it. Oh, it's a powerful anti-inflammatory. Decreases interleukin 6, increases interleukin 23. Now we have a mechanism of action that we can point at it and we can go, I wonder if it works on Crohn's. Crohn's is a disease of inflammation.
That would be
a disease of inflammation in the gut, which is very well perfused. Yeah. And if we give it more oxygen, maybe it'll...
Especially with the plasma? Wow. I mean, I know this stuff from doing the podcast, so I've gotten the chance to look under a microscope a lot of times. So that's amazing. And like you said, it's been in there. And I had gone to a therapist, and the one I had ended up going to was the one that had said to me, get that fucking gold necklace off of you. I don't take insurance, cash only, and this isn't in the medical books, but this will work. And I said, you're my guy. You're my guy. I called my mom and I said, okay, I'll go to this one. He's like, cash only. I don't deal with big pharma because a lot of medicines are better used like off-label, not in the medical books. You know, I mean, he had put like a thing on my head and I thought it was like this big dumb thing, you know, and he's, trust me, and do the waves and it works. So whenever a doctor says, and if he plays with you and jokes with you and then says, it's not in the medical books, he's your guy. He's the guy to go to. Right? Now, after the Navy, what popped in your head or just maybe all the experiences that you wanted to continue to explore? You know, you wanted to adventure more and furthermore to, you know, where I'm about to get to, 100 days. You know, what was it that drove you to the idea of even that consideration of spending 100 days underwater? And this is an article of they're talking about it like you're a lunatic, but it just goes to show you, you know, if you put your mind to something, it could be done.
100%. When I was in the Navy, I became somewhat of a submersible expert. I was the guy that the Admiral brought in to build and design dry combat submersible. We hired the companies to do all the rolling of the steel, yada, yada, yada. I'm a good guy in submersible. Submersible community likes me. Great. Terrific. I get a call from James Cameron's people. Hey, listen, Jim wants you to come out to the house. I'm like, Jim who? Like, James Cameron. I'm like, James Cameron, the filmmaker. They're like, yeah. Like, he wants you to look at his submersible. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Right?
Right. You think you're getting punked.
Send me a ticket. Sure.
You think you're on the punk show. Buddies. Punking you.
Yeah, I'm like, where's Ashton Kutcher?
Yeah.
So, they sent me a ticket. I roll out to California. Next thing I know, I'm literally hanging out in James Cameron's garage, walking the dog on the beach, hearing the whole story. Wow. Guess what? Boy went to the bottom of the Mariana Trench, right? When he got there, he found a sea lice. A sea lice in Florida. These little tiny nitinoid things, right? Like they'll bite you. They'll leave some anaphylactic reaction. A little bit of inflammation comes out of them. No big deal. He found one that was this big under the water. At the bottom of the Mariana Trench. He grabbed it with his little grappling arm, pulled it up, captured it. It was a partial cure for Alzheimer's.
Wow.
Wait, let me say that again. A partial cure for Alzheimer's existed at the bottom of the Mariana Trench, has existed for a long time, and we didn't know about it, but we found it. So it was December 24th, 2012. I'm sitting in my office writing a report. My foot's up on the desk. I'm writing the report and I'm reading all these things and I'm like, wait,
what?
This is a partial cure. I said, oh my God, we need to live in the ocean. And everybody's like, you're cracked. You're crazy. And I'm like, no. Look. I think it's going to work. I got an idea. And they're like, nuts. And I'm like, but I'm not cuckoo. But look here, look, 4.5 billion years of genomic wisdom. We all came from one thing. Right?
Yeah.
If it starts branching out, we all came from a coelacanth is what they think now, but coelacanthus lathus, I think it's actually called, but you have this coelacanth that is the father of everything and everyone. So when everything branched, you could imagine that something got the disease, but something also got the cure.
The cure. Isn't it like that with everything in life?
Everything.
There's a disease, there's something, there's an animal or a plant with the cure. If there's an animal, there's another animal that animal eats. And then when that animal dies, it poops it out. And then there's an animal that eats the poop and on and on and on and on. Man, I mean, this isn't rocket science.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. Alzheimer's, man. Wow.
A partial cure for Alzheimer's.
It doesn't matter. 2% is good, right, buddy? Good, right?
But, yeah. But you look at this and you go, holy mackerel, what else do we get from the sea? Sponges. Sponges make a powerful antiviral called acyclovir, right? And we were like, oh, hey, we can use this as an antiviral. Ta-da! Now we synthesize it from the sponge and what else do we have? I mean, there are so many drugs. You know, there are, guess what? Fish naturally swim around in freezing or below freezing water. Why did we invent antifreeze when we had a natural freaking antifreeze right there? The most caustic thing in the earth, the most worst thing that we can do is make antifreeze, but it naturally existed. Why didn't we copy that? Hey, guess what? Barnacles, they stick really well. Why didn't we invent super glue when we could just use barnacles? You know, there's so many things. It's like, I know I'm a little bit like, but man,
now, Joe, we should just... we were talking to an individual about soil and how bad the soil is, and he had brought up that antifreeze, that antifreeze is just breaking the links in the soil to nothing. So you
100%.
So you see all that, and I mean, just, I mean, that would spark anybody, and you decide to take this on. Now, how do you prep for this? How do you prep to do this? Because I can tell you, I can feel your energy. It's awesome, man. It's awesome, man.
Yeah.
You just say F it and let's go?
No. So 2019, a group of my buddies and I got together, one MD, myself, and a couple of other mission specialists. I was the mission commander. She was the female doc. And then the other three boys were the mission specialists. And we were making it like a scientific mission. We stayed underwater. We did 5 days worth of electroencephalograms, electrocardiograms, tested a whole bunch of kit and gear. But we only stayed underwater for 5 days just to check this thing out. That was in November of 2019. And you know what happened immediately thereafter? Holy mackerel. We were going to do it in 2020. Didn't work. 2021, 2022. All of a sudden, it's 2022 in the late part, and I'm like, Ricky Tick, man, we are freaking dying over here. Yeah. I need to get in the water. They're like, my baby this, my dog that. I got to do rounds at the hospital. I'm like, I'm going. They're like, okay, go ahead. And I'm like, I'm going. Here's the money. Like, literally, here's the money. So I paid my way into this. And people are like, why did you only stay 100? You know, why did you stay 100 days? Because the world record was 73. Why didn't you just say 74 and call it good? Because I wasn't breaking a world record. I want to know what happens to a human when you leave them in an isolated, confined, extreme environment.
Right, science That's project. It was a science experiment. It wasn't about a record.
I'm a scientist.
Yeah. Right? Hello. I'm a scientist. Hello, right McFly. Up. Right.
Yeah. Hello. but when you do that kind of work, you know, you're like, hey, look, electrocardiograms, electroencephalograms, blood, urine, saliva, you know, multiple 19 psychological or psychosocial tests, blood pressure, you know, all kinds of indications to see exactly what goes on. Now, yes, I was a Navy saturation diver and that sort of prepared me. Yes, I did a lot of meditation and that sort of prepared me. Nothing prepares you for being in an isolated, confined extreme for 100 days. And I was actually under pressure, right? So there's human physiologic changes that happen when you're down there. I mean, for God's sake, I lost 3/4 of an inch.
I saw you lost height. I'm not doing it.
I mean, I'm 6'1". It's not so bad, but you know,
I'm 5'10", 5'9", 5'10". I'm not doing it. I would do it with you, but I'm trying to, if you would tell me that I would gain an inch, fuck F it. I'm going down in that water with you for an inch.
Astronauts grow.
I know.
Astronauts grow. Yeah. Aquanauts shrink. One's in compression. The other's in tension. It's like, it's that makes sense, right? So, yeah, we kind of figured that out.
So you'll get back in 26.
Yeah. From your lips to God's ears. Just pick up the phone and call Elon and be like, hey, this guy, he thinks.
Let's go.
What do you think?
Let's go. So you prepare to do this tonight. You go in. Now, take me through, like, the first day. You know, the first day that you're down there, how do you eat? Just explain it all to us. You know,
first day was surreal, right? I get in the water. It's 9 a.m., right? Boom, we're going on the water. Click, we go on the water. And we get down there, and then it was like, it was a shuttle. It was a shuttle of junk in there because I had all my lab equipment, all the blood-taking equipment, all the microscopes, all the, you know, electrocardiograms, electroencephalograms, all that stuff has to be brought down. So there's this big line of people. bringing stuff down, bringing it down, bringing it down, bringing it down. The whole time they're bringing, okay, we got to plan the food. You know, we bought food ahead of time. Here's a bunch of frozen salmon patties. You got to figure out how to cook it in the microwave because, you know, here's a bunch of frozen chicken that's already cooked. You got to figure out how to heat that up, make that not bad. I'm a creature of habit. We were doing a scientific experiment. So you didn't want to change the way you ate in the real world. So I ate exactly the same as I eat normally. I wake up every morning. I have cheese covered eggs, in the microwave. I happen to do it. I do them on a skillet, but three cheese covered eggs in the microwave. And I learned how to cook eggs in the microwave. Yeah. And that was what I had pretty much every morning. Maybe once a week I'd have, salmon and lox, capers, a little bit of tomato, something like that as a little treat for myself. Otherwise, we bought all the food ahead of time and we worked out a plan. And people have to shuttle this stuff down to you. So basically, every bit of food comes, unlike space, unlike astronauts, every bit of food's got to come from the surface. You don't have the ability to store 100 days of food. Wait a minute. Where are we going to put all the food when we travel to Mars? Everybody's like, oh, Elon's got a really big thing. Okay, his thing is 35 feet wide. Okay, that's great. That's great. Where are we going to put all the food? Because it's 200 days to get to Mars. To get to Mars.
Right.
I'm like, Elon, I have a question. What are we going to drink? Oh, no. You can recycle your own urine. You can.
Yeah.
It actually, however, you do a little bit of line loss. I want to say it's like 6% or 7% of loss each time you drink, urinate, clean, re-drink. You know, you're only getting, 95.4%, right?
Right.
So after a while, you don't have enough water. What are you going to use to generate water? How are you going to, how are you going to generate liquids? How are you going to have foods? How are you going to keep those foods safe, fresh? But what are you going to do with all the trash? Yeah. And it's only 200 days to get there. That's just to get there. Then figure you explore for a month or two or however long. And then it's like 6 months to come back. Yeah. 9 months. Who am I kidding? It's 9 months to come back. Because the orbits are so off on those two, on our two planets, that you got to wait, right? So it's a year and a half round trip. So get food for a year and a half for four people. Wait, what?
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about ionizing radiation. We haven't even talked about muscle loss. Oh, this is one thing. While I was down there, we perfected this muscle attenuation device, which basically cups off your arm, your arteries in your arm and your legs, right? At certain times, it modulates, it squeezes in and out. And then you could use resistance bands. I maintain size of my biceps in a zero gravity environment for a period of time, just like we need to do for these people that are traveling to Mars. We need to learn from the ocean to be able to travel to Mars.
Right.
And if we don't learn from what we're doing in the ocean,
forget it.
We're messing up. Wow. Right. We're messing up. Why? Train like you fight like you train. We got to learn how to. Okay. So we do a 200 day trip to Mars. What's an astronaut like when they get off the International Space Station after 200 days? Oh, that's right. We carry them out of the. Oh, yeah. We carry them. Wait. Who's going to carry us on Mars? Mm. Oh, that's right. Nobody. Yeah. So we should show up.
Problem number 15.
Yeah, problem number 15. Like, we got real problems that we could solve, but we need smart people to start looking at them. And honestly, smart people got to start looking at them before we think, yeah, the rocket, that's only 0.1% of what we got to look at. And it's important. I get it.
For further on, the rocket's like, a wind-up toy.
Yeah.
Right.
It's good to get there.
Right.
It's great. We got a whole bunch of questions we got to ask.
Yeah. So now when you're down there, the primary thing, primarily, you're looking science. Did you find things that you'd never seen before? Did you bring things back? What are some really interesting things that you found? Things that you found that you think are going to have some, after some more testing, are going to have some great outcomes and so on and so forth. And did you get bored or scared, things like that?
Hey, if I share my screen, can you let me share my screen?
Yeah, go ahead. I think we'll be able to see.
Yeah, I think it'll work.
Let's try it.
Saw this once in a cartoon. I'm pretty sure I can do it.
Awesome.
How's that?
That's awesome.
I can see it. Yep.
And meanwhile, Joe is going to be building a new Zoom for us that he will have out for everyone January 1st of next year. Thank everybody know, Doctor.
So here we are. We're looking at this file. This happens to be right in the Senate. It looks like a banana, a new single-celled organism new to science. We found it in the dirt underneath the habitat, in the water, in the dirt underneath the habitat. Now, I'm not a microbiologist, but the microbiologist said, this looks like a new single-celled psyllid. Okay, great. What is it used for? No idea. I had a sponge researcher, like the 800-pound silverback gorilla of sponge researchers came down, and she found a new species of sponge, what she believes to be a new species of sponge. These right here, these are red blood cells under a microscope, under pressure. And do you see how they're all rolled up like quarters?
Mm-hmm.
This, we believe, is a pressure phenomenon called Brulot formation. So basically stacked up on top of one another is like quarters. Red blood cells don't behave like this. They only behave like this under pressure. And every single person that we pulled blood from and tested it under pressure looked like this.
Hmm.
So it's like, look, we are changing. We are learning. We learned a ton of stuff. Now, here's the thing that I want everybody to focus on. When you look at this, this is what you get when you go scuba diving. This is the top of the habitat. When you go scuba diving, you look at the top of the habitat, the whole bunch of fish, right? This is what you get when you look really close on a lot of days and you know where to look. Can you see that?
Yeah.
The seahorse.
That's a seahorse, right?
Yeah.
Hippocampus, right? That happens to be the whole thing of my underwater experience. Then and only then, so after you look really closely, you'll see what you haven't seen before. Then only then you become part of the environment. And when you become part of the environment, this is my front doorstep underneath my habitat, right?
Yeah.
That is a shark laying on my front door. Why?
Because you're part of the habitat.
She was okay with me. Yeah. She was okay with me living there, being there. She understood. I saw her every day. She was like, yeah, not going to hurt me. Yeah. Oh, boom, I'll park right. But this is what you get when you live in a place, right? You don't know where your best friend lives. Man, when I moved to New York from Italy, right? I came from Naples, right? We came to New York. I didn't know that my best friend in the world, Brian, would live diagonally across the corner from me. I was on 5th and 2nd. He was on 4th and 3rd. Never knew that was going to happen until I looked around. I explored a little bit. I finally met somebody, and you're exchanging things, you know how to get to from here to there. But this is what you get when you live in the ocean, right?
That is so awesome. And see, I think we went so wrong with the way we went in this civilization, where we forgot about nature and life, like in conscience, and that, like, that was your friend down there. He's not trying to hurt you. He's like, hey, welcome, 100%. welcome down. Comes to your door every, they got feelings too and everything else. And I think other civilizations went the other way. You know, they went more telepathic and weren't worried about money and ego. They were within nature, and look, that's a prime example right there. Oh, shark is gonna kill you. Well, yeah, if you mess with it.
No, you're lucky if you get to see a shark underwater. You're lucky if you get to see. Look, I've been diving for a lot of years, let's just call it.
You look 26
for a minute or two, right? So first time me seeing a seahorse, first time. And I've been diving a long time. And I got thousands of dives, right? Like, it was hard to find the seahorse. You have to go look for it. They hide really well. You have to stop and look because they're this big, right? And here you are looking up and down the pylons, actually taking the time to look, becoming part of the environment, not scaring them, not moving around. The better you look, the more you see, right?
What else did you find down there that's so wild that you found that, you know, I know it's a micro, but that just looks so interesting. Just so interesting. What else, man? This interests me like crazy. What else did you find down there medically that has potential?
Oh, medically. Oh, yeah. My goodness. All right. So I have problems sleeping. Why? I'm a traumatic brain injury sufferer. We all have problems sleeping. Every person with a traumatic brain injury has a problem sleeping. I'm telling you, it's just the way it is. And a lot of people that have PTSD, they have problems sleeping, right? So just FYI. I have a Aura ring that I wear that tells me how much deep and how much REM sleep I got. And I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of days of that data before I went under. I sleep between 30 and 33% in deep and REM, which is kind of sort of average. Maybe it's on a low side of average, but it's average. When I went underwater, I was sleeping between 60 and 66% in deep and REM sleep. Wow. Doubled my deep and REM sleep. 50 to 70 million Americans suffer from sleep problems. That's just America, guys. Yeah. It's just the rest of the world, probably more, but I'm just saying. 50 to 70 million Americans could possibly benefit. And the good thing is, you don't need to go underwater and stay underwater for 100 days just to get the benefit of this. This is a known mechanism of action of hyperbaric medicine. Why? Ramps up your metabolism. If I ramp up your metabolism, you're more tired underwater. You're more tired at the end of the day, right? That's what hyperbaric medicine does. Same thing, every single inflammatory marker in my body cut in half. Can't argue with that. My cholesterol went from 272 to 200.
Wow. So then, like you said, you don't have to be underwater. You could just mimic being underwater.
Yeah. By being in pressure, because that's what being underwater is. It's being in pressure. It's hyper more than baric pressure. More pressure. Pressure is the answer. Look, we came from the sea. I'm not trying to like tell you, oh, yeah, go back in the ocean, but I am trying to tell you that pressure is your friend, right? Now, is it always your friend? No. If you go too deep, stay too long, you have decompression, you have issues, blah, blah, blah. There's all kinds of issues. So don't just go out there and say, oh, I could just jump in my pool with a bottle of oxygen. Please don't go do that. Right? But there are ways that you can work this with a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of training. You can understand. And you know, or you just go to a local hyperbaric center and ask them to put you in, you know, and get a prescription from your doctor and get them to do it. I mean, you know, the only thing that I don't have double-blind placebo-controlled studies on is like a study for wellness. But there's anti-aging studies that are coming out that show, wait a minute. Sure. Can I do a reveal?
Yeah.
Can I do a reveal?
Please do.
All right.
Hold on. Now, if somebody's interested in the hyperbaric chamber, if they're in near you or in driving distance or even flying, how often was sleep? Because I know a million people that take sleep. Everybody's on a damn sleep pill. Yeah. I won't
melatonin.
Take them.
Melatonin.
Melatonin. What's the one that people go? Ambien. This
smoking
one.
Smoking weed.
weed all night long. How often would one, just you know, off the top of your head, need to do the chamber to help with that REM sleep?
Yeah, after the first 5 days of being in and after the first 5 days of every hyperbaric treatment that I'm in, I tend to start sleeping better. Now, the problem is it goes away, right? It goes away when you're back on the surface because things go back to normal, right? The pressure goes back to normal. But after 5 days, I start getting about a week or two of effect of this. And so can you go back and forth? Is it really like economically feasible? I don't think so, but you know, it's one of those things that we're trying to work on. So here's the big reveal. Da, 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 da.
30. Okay.
Epigenetic age.
That's my actual age.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
That, after hyperbaric exposure, is my extrinsic age.
Wow.
You need to call that guy who's spending a billion.
55 years old.
Doc.
My telomeres are longer. I am more better. I'm in better shape. I feel better. You know,
Doc.
Know. 55 years old. I'm still benching over 300. Come on.
Wow.
Now, whoa. I was in fairness, I was 44 before we started. So 55, I was 44. So I'm taking good care of myself, right? It's not like I'm some schnook that just sat around and eat bonbons. And, you know, you like gym in my life is spelled with a G, not with a J, right? So it's like I call it church. I go to church every morning, right?
Yeah.
I got to swim a mile this morning, right?
Wow.
I mean, you got to get out and do the work. There is no shortcut to reducing the age that you're at, right? You got to keep things going. So I'm doing that. But then
I could tell you right now,
30 freaking four.
Your office is going to be packed that you just showed that. Once we pop this, you're going to have 1,000 calls. If people can go down 20 years, I'm not kidding. And you know what you should do, Doc, is
we got to get you that the guy's number that's spending $1 billion with 7,000 vitamins to try to stay young. A billion, you could take that billion and put it toward the Off the Planet project. And all he's got to do is go in the damn chamber. Do you know who I'm talking about? I forget his name.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's literally spending $1 billion. How amazing is that? Yeah, look,
there's all kinds of things that you can do that are naturopathic. Look, and this is why I like hyperbaric medicine. It is absolutely natural, right? It is pressurizing the natural resource that we have on this planet, oxygen, made by plants. Not like, oh, hold on, it's cocaine. Yes, I know cocaine is made by plants too, but come on. You know, we're actually giving you not a Schedule I narcotic, however, an actual drug that can be useful in your metabolism and is necessary for metabolism. So, yeah, we give you that and we ramp you up for a little bit. Now you have to on again, off again, on again, off again. There's ways to do it, air brakes, things like that, that we're increasing something called brain-derived neurotrophic factor. We're increasing insulin growth factor, vascular endothelial growth factor, all of these things. But when you put all this knowledge that I want to give it out to people. This is why I teach med school. This is why I teach biomedical engineering at the University of South Florida, because I want people to know what I know, that you can get healing and true improvement in everything that you do, in every way, shape, or form, from doing things naturally. You can do it. It takes work, a lot of work. You gotta be willing to do the work. Are you willing to do the work? Because I'm going to 110 years old. Everybody's like, yeah, well, you're kind of getting old to go to space, aren't you? And I'm like, old. Number one, John Glenn was my friggin' hero. So he went late in life, let's just call it, right? But I believe that the older generation has a lot to offer, right? I mean, come on, look, while I was underwater for 100 days, my mom, whose age will not be mentioned.
No, no, don't do that. Yeah, we're Italian. You get killed for that. You get killed for that. If I
don't ask, do it. An Italian mother, right?
My grandfather taught me real quick and hard. Never ask a woman her age.
Nope, don't do
and
it.
And it only took one time.
You won't make it to 110.
No, I wouldn't have made it to 10 years old. You know how our grandpas were. Oh, forget it.
So she took scuba diving lessons at whatever age she is now to come down and learn how to scuba dive, come in. And everybody's like, how did you do that? She's like, well, I just took a lesson. They're like, we could do that? Like, not only did we incentivize the 13-year-olds and the 12-year-olds that were like, oh my God, science could be cool. This is great. You know, not only did I high five a kid that tried to swim down breath hold 15 times, she tried, 13-year-old girl. 15 times I wound up high-fiving her, and I was like, I'm so proud of that girl. I sent the text up to the surface, and they were like, so cool. She cried when you sent that up there. I was like, oh, man. But not only are we incentivizing the 13, 12-year-old crowd, we're incentivizing a whole group of whoever. I don't even want to call them elderly. People with disposable time.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's what they have at this point, right? They have disposable time. They got nothing to do. You're retired. You got nothing to do. Go take a diving class. A lot of these benefits can be gotten by diving.
And look at what we see, Doc. Like when somebody retires from a job, you'll see that they're going hard. And 2 years later, Sal passed away. You know, he's gone. Or a couple were married for 60 years and he or she passes away and then the other one passes away. But if they maybe, I don't know, get into diving, you know, get some of that anxiety. And like you had said earlier, the depression with the chamber and everything else, boom. Yeah. I mean, that could really...
I think, too. You're
really onto some fantastic stuff.
I dive. It's been about 2 years I haven't been in. But I always explain to people, diving, to me, at least this is my opinion, you know, you're in another world. Like, you leave this world and you're in another world. And you could have the worst day possible. And when you're under there, when you're under that water and you're seeing these fish circle you and you're seeing an eel pop out of something, you forget about everything. And I don't know whether it's the pressure, what it is, you're just calm. And I could see how this could help veterans, as if you're doing, you know, with PTSD, elderly.
There's a whole project.
Yeah. Yep. Elderly people who maybe just lost a loved one. And like you said, oh, you're too old. You're not too old. I mean, maybe some people are by health and things like that, but that's awesome. That's awesome.
No, listen, you are 100% right. So, mind you, everybody thought I was messing around down there and that I was just fotzing off and that I was bored. No. Yeah. I was about 6 to 8 hours a day of science, blood, urine, saliva, electrocardiogram, electroencephalogram, blood pressure, you know, all these oxygen measurements, all these ear. I would take samples in my ear and go culture them, blood draws, all this junk that I was doing, 6 to 8 hours a day. Then I did 2 to 3 hours of this media outreach podcast sort of a thing, not just the media and podcast stuff. And then I did about 2 to 4 hours every day of teaching, literally lecturing. I taught USF biomedical engineering class from underwater as a USF professor, right? I taught, that was 3 days a week, 3 hours a day. And then I would actually teach at Marine Lab, which is the Marine Resources Developmental Foundation. They're the other people that paid for the actual expedition. So I paid and they paid and we did it all together. So I taught for them, teaching a whole bunch of kids. We reached over 5,000 kids. I want to say it was 5,547. Don't hold me to that number. But we taught a lot of kids about science, technology, engineering, and math. And I mean, we were busy all day long. I was busy all day long. And I was like, you know, up at 4 doing my thing, same thing every day. And every day, best part of my day, when I went out to go for a scuba dive, I stopped what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, time for a mental health break for Joe.
Yeah.
Right.
Get in the water. So you're 100% right. You always feel better when you go diving. Yeah. The worst day, the best day at work is just my worst day of diving. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, when you first went down there, When did you start, how long was it until, you know, you're sending all these tests back up? When did you see any noticeable changes in
20 days?
20 days is when you started to see things. Some
20 days.
This episode is brought to you by Fiji. More than just water.
This is not just rock. It's ancient volcanic rock that filters tropical rain, giving it double the electrolytes and its signature soft, smooth taste. It's not just water. It's Fiji water.
Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But as I got older, started working out, I had to watch out for sugar and empty carbs. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you'll love, but high protein and less sugar. The variety pack, 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 net grams of carbs. Only 140 calories per serving. It's high protein, 0 grams of sugar, keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. The fruity one, I'm done for. I can eat the whole box, no problem. Go to magicspoon.com/MSCS to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use promo code MSCS at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That says something. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/MSCS and use the code MSCS to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
He's in, but that was the first blood draw.
Okay.
We did the first blood draw at 20 days, and that was when we saw the first real results, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, otherwise, we'd been pricking my finger with blood and doing all the other junk. But, you know, things don't happen very quickly. Literally, 5 days into it, that was when I started sleeping better. And I'm looking at the sleep results right away because they're on my phone. You know, I got sleep results on my phone.
Right.
And it was like, holy mackerel, I'm sleeping much better. And then everybody that came down that spent the night or that spent a couple of nights after you get rid of all the humming and the noise and all the difference, it's different to sleep underwater, right? Or sleep under pressure. So it's very different. But when you do that, you start sleeping better immediately. And every single person that came down, whether it was on the Apple Watch, like people had the Apple Watch, the Fitbit, and then the Aura Ring. All of them, all exactly the same, anywhere from 30 to 33, all the way up to 60 to 70%. It was great.
I was going to ask, what is the sound while you're underwater sleeping? Is it like, is there a specific noise or a sound while you're staying under there or what?
So yeah, the, when you're underwater, you're basically, you're in an aqueous environment, right? So that aqueous environment dampens all of the surface sound, which is great. However, there's machine noise running you had to have an air conditioner. If you didn't have an air conditioner, you would instantly be the exact same temperature of the water, 88, and the exact same humidity, 100%, right? So what's the job of an air conditioner? It's not to cool the air, it's to dehumidify the air, right? So it's like, wait, you have an open bottom to your bell. It's open bottom, so literally the water is there. So it is 100% humid. Why? It's like having a pool in your living room. Your windows will sweat. It's physics. Yeah. It has to work. So yeah, it's one of these like, wow, that's a lot of moisture for it to pull out. So that machine hum is a lot to get used to. You hear differently. It's very like, it's being like almost in a soundproof room, and it's almost overly quiet, but then there's that one.
And then when, like in regular, when you're above water, what time would you usually go to bed and what time would you usually get up?
Yeah, I'm a 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning sort of guy.
No matter what?
Always have been my whole life. Yeah, same thing underwater.
So even if you're like studying and working, you're up to one, you're still up at 4:30. I'm always curious about that. Like, you know,
I'm an old man, so I go to bed early. So I go to bed at like 9. I literally retreated into my cabin. I stopped work pretty much at 8 every night. Because I'm like, you got to draw the friggin' line. You can't wake up at 4 and then end at 8 p.m. every night. Things are going to click offline, right? You got to take care of yourself. You got to give yourself a mental health break. So I gave myself that mental health break, breathe in and out, repeat as necessary, do a lot of meditation, become one with your God. Whatever you want to do to give yourself that mental health break. You know, when was the last time you took a bunch of time for you?
Yeah, that's a good question.
We were just talking about that on the way in here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've been trying to build this, you know, and it's just nonstop, you know. But that's the key, and that's why I asked you, because we know a lot of people that have sleep issues, which in my belief then turns into depression, anxiety, and everything else. And I like how you said that. And, you know, people will listen to you, and I love what you're doing with kids. You know, you have that cutoff, like 8 o'clock, okay, that's it. Because you can't work till 12, be all stressed out, then try to lay down, and then get up at 5, and then try to catch up on what you missed. You just got to say, look, 8 o'clock, I'm done.
Right.
Whatever it is, it will be okay. Go, you know, relax and deal with it the next day. And I think that's a real big problem with me.
It will be there in the morning.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, it'll be there in the morning. Everything you stop, it'll be there in the morning. So you got to get, and what are successful people? Successful people are steeped in routine. Time after time, you are steeped in a routine. Get into a routine that is healthy. Maybe you're in a routine right now that's bad. Whatever. Change. Get into another routine. Wake up in the morning. Look, if I don't go to work out in the morning, if I didn't swim a mile this morning, like somebody's going to get choked at work, right? Like,
yeah.
One of the interns is going to be right? Like, I use it as part of my home, right? So I need a little bit of that, but that's me. That's my routine, right? And then when I go home, you know, I ate my chicken this morning, or up this afternoon. And then, you know, what's next? This evening I go home and I take a walk after dinner. Helps me with digestion, you know, just like I would take a swim after my dinner when I was underwater, right? So do things that can get yourself into a habit that are predictable for you, that are predictable for your body. Your body needs to have this predictability. Yes, it needs to be a little crazy and have some uncertainty, but most of the time it needs certainty.
See, doctor, I'm one of those extremists. I'm dumb as a rock when it comes to certain things, but say medical, what you're doing in the ocean, space, that I could sit there and read 5,000 million pages of literature and everything. I'm completely interested. If I'm not interested in it, I'm dumb as a rock. Like literally, F's. But you could put in front of me a bunch of cells and say, Tommy, go look under a scope. And with no education as a doctor, just because of reading and interest, I could tell you just as much as anybody how the cells move and everything else. So with me, I get extreme. So I'll stay up till 4
you know, doing 10 things at once and then get up at 8 and, you know, who will account for
this? This is true. This is true.
And then eventually I'll be like, oh, you know, like I need some me time. So, so that's my problem. I have to have that cut where, look, you got to stop, relax.
Right. I mean, you know, do you take a mental health break every day?
No. And I'm sure a lot of people don't.
I would humbly suggest that you do. Because guess what? Okay, pretend you got a wife, pretend you got three kids, pretend you got, you know, a job that can't live without you, pretend that, pretend. You got a staff of 15 people that you're employing. Who's the base of all that?
Yep.
Yeah.
This guy. Yep.
Right.
Right? I can carry more if the base is stronger. Make the base stronger.
Yep.
Be selfish. Self-care is not selfish. So you can be the base.
Yep.
Have all this piled up on you, but you got to stop and take care of yourself. A couple minutes. It's not like you need 6 hours. It's you get a couple minutes a day of a mental health break. Get up, walk around your building. Get up, walk outside, walk around your building one time. Start like that. Take that mental health. Breathe in through your nose, out through your nose. Why? This is sympathetic nervous system. This is parasympathetic nervous system. You breathe in through your nose. You invoke the parasympathetic nervous system. That calms everything down. You want to get fight or flight? Right? I breathe in through my mouth. So stop, think, breathe, act, right?
And I
take a minute to walk around your building. Breathe through your nose. You're done.
I think that's the best thing you just said, because I think people nowadays too, between work, between family life, between everything else, and the biggest key, I think, to mental health and why people struggle so much, in my opinion, the cell phone. It's constant emails coming in from work, constant people asking for this, constant this. You're looking at somebody else's life. Oh, look what they did. Oh, this, my life sucks, this, that.
Crazy.
And your mental health is just, oh, it's like overload. So, like, take the cell phone, throw it in the corner, get away from it, and go out, walk around like you said, go for a jog, go for a swim, I don't know, read a book. Yeah.
See, this is the other thing. So it's funny you mentioned that. I was out at the USF game Friday, Saturday night, whatever it was. And, you know, somebody met me and they're a fan of Dr. Deep Sea. So I'm on drdeepsea.com and those are all my handles and all. But she was like, oh, my God, I love you. I follow your thing. And I'm like, okay, hon, you realize that none of that is real, right? That is social media. Those are my best days and best pictures. Do I have bad days? All the time. Do I have mornings when I woke up? This morning, I'm laying in bed. I'm like, I do not want to swim. I do not want to swim. I do not want to swim. I'm like, shut up. You're swimming.
Yeah.
I don't want to swim. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes, I do. Right? You have this conversation with yourself.
All the time.
Yeah. So you do. You have bad days. Yeah, I've been sick. And I was sick underwater, man. But, you know, it's part of the job. You got to get through the day. You know, so don't believe everything on social media. You got to drop. You're right. You're 100% right. You got to drop that stuff. Like, oh, Johnny is doing so much better than I am. No. Johnny's about to have a nervous breakdown.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
And this is tantamount to what I see happening with the military guys, right?
Yeah.
Like we catch up and we keep up with one another. We're like, hey, how you doing, man? I'm good. I'm not hanging from a tree branch. I'm like, well, okay, that's kind of a real, that's a real, really real statement. I'm not hanging from a tree branch.
Right.
Yeah, but everybody I know is one step away. You're one step away if things go bad. The mental health population right now, it's bad. It's really bad. Mm-hmm. And you're right, it's because of these effing things.
It is.
Because of, you know, I'm keeping up with the Joneses. It's right. Because I'm comparing my life to everybody else and the it's such so a bad onslaught.
I post and ghost. I hate it. I only do it for business. I'll put the clips up and I get the hell off. I don't care about anybody. I don't care about what somebody's eating or what they're doing. I hate it and I see what it does. Goes through me. I hate it so much.
So the most important question, I just thought of it sitting here. You know, you're underwater. You're down there for 100 days doing your research, checking out the cool fish and things that are coming by. How do you go to the bathroom underwater?
Most common kid question ever. Right? So in the wet part of the habitat, there's a wet part and a dry part, right? The places with the air conditioner and a place in the center that has a moon pool. So you come in and there's a toilet that's there. On that toilet, it's basically a commode, just like you would have on a back of a RV or something like that. And there's a holding tank. In that holding tank, you know, once a day you clean it, you put that stuff in, you know, you macerate it, and then you push it up and pressurize it and send it to the surface. Then it joins the, you know, the Florida, you know, whatever, all the Florida sewage system, yeah, wherever that goes. But it didn't go in the water. Everybody asked me if it went right in the water. I'm like, no, why would I poop where I sleep?
Yeah.
I literally sleep in the water, but pooping where I sleep. Yeah. So, but you know, you can get rid of it that way, but it's a real easy way to pressurize it, send it to the surface and join the lines, you know?
Yeah. And what was the scare out of the 100 days? What was the scariest moment you had? I know you got sick. Was there any time where your team was like, all right, it's time to get up, this is not good, or any real scares at all?
Middle of the night, power comes on, lights, the emergency lights come on. I'm like, what the actual F is that? Now, we had practiced for all this, so I knew what was going on. That's loss of power to the habitat. Huh. So I slide the door, I'm looking out the window, and I'm seeing in the circular window that you see in all those pictures, all this bright light. And I'm like, all hell is breaking loose on the surface. Like, literally, there's a huge storm. I mean, I was, it was rather daunting, right? But I've never seen a lightning storm underwater, right? Mm. So here I am underwater in a lightning storm.
Wow.
Watching it, wow. Going, geez. Wow. I wonder how well we're grounded here. Jeez, I wonder, you know. And then, oh, by the way, the AC stops working. And, oh, by the way, we didn't have a power connection to the surface. The Wi-Fi's out. You can't call anybody. There is no Now you're using tap codes to talk to people, Jesus, that haven't practiced tap codes in a minute. And it's insane. So, yeah, it was. Was it touch and go? It was just a little daunting. I mean, you know, of course it's dark. You're like, how much battery power do I have? I have to remind myself, what is the air state power? You know, get some more air in here, how to pressurize that. Yeah, so.
Pool pod, tab 4. And then how long, like, I would imagine that your eyes had to be quite, it had to be quite of an adjustment visually. How was that, or am I wrong?
Yeah, so the interesting part, your vision is 20/20 wide because you can see an object that's 20 feet away like it's 20 feet away. When you can only see about 15 feet, because that was basically my visual point, right? I could basically only see that far. So my vision became a little bit more nearsighted. Why? Because that's all I could see. After 100 days of only being able to see this far, my vision changed. So I lost a little bit of vision, but it wound up coming back, right? So it wound up being, oh, you can see there's the doorstep, right?
Yeah.
There's my doorstep right there where the shark was at. It's like,
that's so awesome, man.
Entrance door, right? So, no, but so when I was driving home, somebody was driving me home because I was myopic, so I really couldn't see very well. So somebody's driving me home, and they're passing between a car and a tractor-trailer truck in a rainstorm. Now, mind you, I haven't seen rain for a minute, right? 100 days, right? So the rain is coming at me like this on the sides. And they're passing between a tractor trailer truck and another car in the middle lane. And I'm like, wait a minute. It was a little scary, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Because you know what is so amazing about that is how the body always finds a way to adapt. You know, you can only see 15 feet, so the body adapted to seeing 15 feet. You came back up, it adapted again. Isn't that just so awesome about science, how that is, and the human body?
Your body is, it's interested in something called hormesis. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, this is the big telltale, right? Your body needs to be stressed. We used to be stressed, like, for real important things, like getting chased by a saber-toothed tiger, right? That used to be our stress. We don't have real stress anymore. What we have is our own fake stress. Oh, Susie didn't like my Instagram post. Johnny didn't like my Facebook. I only got 15 whatevers on whatever, LinkedIn, I don't know, whatever, you know? But like, all of that is feeding into a different kind of stress, but it's not that real stress. You need to stress your body and then let your body unstress. Stress your body, let your body unstress. It's called hormesis. And what it does is it turns off, when you're stressed, it turns off your cell's ability to reproduce, which is good for a little while, right? So it decreases your age. That's literally hormesis. I'm very oversimplifying it. Hormesis decreases your age. So when I get in an ice bath, people are like, what are you doing? That water's 32 degrees. You get a gasp every time you go in there. And I go, huh? Why? I'm stressing my body, like getting chased by a saber-toothed tiger, right? It's like, oh, your body turns on all this stuff like, oh, I'm going to increase something called interleukin-15, a powerful antiviral. Hey, you may need some of this. I'm going to decrease your inflammation. I'm going to make you run faster. I'm going to give you adrenaline, cortisol, right? You have all these body responses that are like, hey, this is cool stuff.
So, and congratulations on the Guinness World Record, sir. Wanted to make sure that I know that you were down there for science, but still, hey, honor.
We did a thing. We got a thing, and it's great.
But now when you had come up, what was your blood testing like? Anything seriously wrong other than you lost a little bit of height, the vision thing, which adjusted? Anything? Any markers that really stood out when you had come up?
Nothing.
Wow.
Nothing that stood out when I came up. Some of my blood markers went back. Right. That's what happens. Right. We understand that was going to happen. You know, nothing in peril, nothing in danger. Everything was reasonably good or within normal limits is what they say. Right. So here we are. We're doing all this testing and so forth. But oh, look, you can actually see I did maintain size. Now, mind you, I did no exercise except for resistance bands while I was underwater for 100 days. That's it.
Look at the size. You're jacked, bro. Like, it doesn't look like you're down there.
But this is the lesson for the astronauts. We can help you. We can help you, right? There's ways to go about doing this, right? They only have resistance bands in space because there's no weight in space, right? You're weightless, right? So I can lift 5,000 pounds in space, right? You can't do it. Doesn't matter. It's not going to be weightlifting, right? So the only thing you can do is resistance bands. And that's what I did while I was underwater using these pressure cuffs. So it's a new way of thinking about, an old way of working out, if you will.
We had Wim Hof on. The next thing I was going to ask you was what you had thought about the cold plunge. Killer, right? I'm working on it. Yeah.
13% increase in brown fat or brown adipose tissue. 13% increase. That's the mitochondrial rich sort of stuff. By the way, I did some testing and I found, because I have a forge, I have an ice forge, 32 degrees, not 40, not 45, 30 freaking two. Crack the ice, move it aside, get in the water, right? When you get that gas, you induce hormesis. When you induce hormesis, your body starts to go in that survival thing, which is really good for your body. But the increase in brown adipose tissue and the increase in coherence and the decrease in phase lag. Coherence is how well these nodes talk to one another. Mm-hmm. Phase lag is how fast they talk to one another. I had an increase in coherence and a decrease in phase lag while I was sitting in the ice bath.
Now at 32 degrees, we're gonna get one. What is the goal? You know, like the goal in
11 minutes a week.
Per 11 minutes a week, but per time we jump in.
Doesn't matter. 2 minutes. 2 minutes, 6 days a week, that'll get you to 11 minutes a week. Now, there's not enough exact studies on this kind of stuff. There really isn't, right? But look, you know, we're trying our very best at this point because guess what? This would have been proven in science, peer-reviewed papers, published, blah, blah, blah. But then it got to the market and everybody's like, man, I love the way this makes me feel. Yeah. I mean, do you know where this came from for me? I had my traumatic brain injury and I'm driving on my way home because I'm like, oh man, I'm not doing so well. On the side of the road, there's a sign. It says ice, $5. I'm like, huh? If you put yourself in ice water, Navy diver, right? You put yourself in ice water, pool week, right? You put yourself in ice water, you decrease peripheral perfusion. If you decrease peripheral perfusion and you keep the volume the same, you have to increase cerebral perfusion. It's physics. It has to work.
Wow.
Like, I'm going to stop and get ice. So I got 40 pounds of ice, dropped it in my bath at home, took an ice bath. I was like, I feel amazing. Oh my God. Right. And then it's like, okay, I feel now I start reading papers. Now I start backing it up with science. Now I start being, because this was just me stumbling upon it, trying to cure my own traumatic brain injury, which the hospital was diagnose and discharge.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I had an 8-millimeter hemorrhagic stroke, prefrontal cortex, left side. I had a pretty good traumatic brain injury. And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. All you need is a tincture of time. I'm like, dude, don't ever say those words to me again. Doc, don't ever say those words. Because that is just stupid.
Stupid. Do you know Wim Hof? They call him the Iceman. Yeah.
No, I love Wim Hof.
I had him in. When I show him this, that you just said that, he is going to be so happy because he's fighting toe and nail that he has the science, but they won't publish it. Like, he has all of it. He's like, they won't publish it. You don't need depression meds. You don't need any of this shit. Start in the shower and then build up. I'm telling you, they won't publish it. Big Pharma won't publish it.
True story. Tell Wim. Put me in contact with him.
Absolutely.
He was supposed to come to Tampa. We were going to do something together. We were going to do stupid things together, right? I would love to be in contact with him so that I could, because I'm doing EEGs, electroencephalograms, in the ice bath. I'm physically showing what happens from a physical and physiological perspective to the brain waves while you're in ice bath.
This is going to be the best day of his life when I tell him this. I connected the second we're done.
Yeah.
God, this is what I want to do. This is the overall for the rest of my life. What I want to do, I want to challenge and push science to the next step. Show kids that it's kind of cool. Oh, you got an idea, something that's cool. Do you know where the idea for testing the EEG in the ice bath came from?
No.
9-year-old girl.
Wow.
I was treating her father. He was going to the ice bath and we showed her the EEG room and we showed her the ice bath. And she said, hey, have you ever put the EEG on somebody in the ice bath? And I was like, huh? Brilliant. Her name's Sarah. I'm like, oh my God, I love you. Right. She's now my little fishing buddy. Her and I go fishing. I was like, that's a great thought. So I did it. And then when you look at the results, look, science wins over BS every time. Here's the results. Now, I only have an N of one. So mind you, this whole experiment is an N of one, right? An N means the number of people in the study, right? So there's only one. Are my results going to be the same as yours? No, I guarantee you they won't be the exact same as mine. However, comma, is there some physical, physiological, and psychological benefit that comes from this? Yeah. So,
that's awesome.
Look, your call, man. If somebody said, here's a placebo, take this, and you will feel great. 100% of the people will take it, even if it doesn't do anything.
And so if we all come together like this, instead of, you know, being cutthroat and dicks, like, you know, oh, Wim, I just thought of Wim. Oh, geez, Wim's going to be happy. Now you got, you know, then you can get this out more, you know? That's what it's about. It's not about ego and whatever. You know, what were we going to say, Rob?
No, I was wondering, you know, what, first of all, congratulations on everything you've done, everything you continue to do, the programs you got going, because I think, you know, the future is guys like you educating the younger generation and showing them that, you know, you don't need the 600 pills that my mom or my grandmother had to suffer or suffering with to cure stuff. You can go back to your foods. You can go back to the way you take care of your bodies, the ocean, everything, whatever it is. Is there, you know, we were talking about the hyperbaric stuff earlier. Can babies be treated if they have some things with using hyperbaric pressure, or is that, that would probably be too young?
They can. There have been studies. People have done babies in hyperbaric chambers, right? It has happened before. Like in the cases of exceptional anemia and cases of, you know, they're badly burnt and you want to heal them better, faster. I mean, you know, there are a couple of indications that no kid works for, but you know, there's some issues with babies, sure. Right? There's a whole bunch of training. I mean, this is what I teach the medical school kids, right? Like there's a whole bunch of, you know, they call them contraindications. There's a whole bunch of absolute contraindications and there's a whole bunch of relative contraindications. Well, the relative contraindications are like, well, maybe, right? But the absolutes are like, okay, you cannot do that, right? So you have to make sure that all these things are met before you put the person in, and you don't want to hurt the patient, sure. right? I mean, it's a baby, for crying out loud. So, you know, if you can work it, yeah. Can the kid benefit? Depends on what's wrong with him. Now, would I put a kid in there and put tubes in his ear just to make the kid, increase his telomere length? Like, there's a whole anti-aging protocol that increases your telomere length by between 30 to 35% or 36%, depending on whose paper you read. No, I wouldn't do that, because the cost benefit's not that. A baby's just born. There's no reason to increase it, right? There's no reason to. It's a cost benefit, right? It's a risk versus reward, right? There is a risk. It's not a zero risk, right? So there is a risk. But when you do that, you do this, you know, severity and the actual likelihood of the probability and severity on the scope, and you go, okay, I do a risk matrix. You know, this is what we did. Mil standard 8082 is the military standard for that, for assessing risk. We assess risk every day, and we make decisions based upon risk and benefit.
And then real quick, one more thing on the infant thing, just because I always wondered this. So, and I don't know if this is in your knowledge or not, but you know, a baby when it's born, right, comes out the birth canal, boom, here, welcome to the world, cut off the umbilical cord, great. Nowadays, it seems like more and more women, and I don't know if it's the doctors pushing them to do it, are doing C-sections. And there's times for C-sections, like the mom could die, the baby could die, we got to get it out, I get it. But I read an article and I talked to someone about it, like, you know, you're naturally born to come out of your mother's, a vagina, right? That's how you're.
It's been going like that, yes, for a couple thousand
for a little while now, and they're saying that it's having effects on kids, that all these just, you know, cut you open and pull the baby out, because the pressure of, there's some sort of pressure, right? You're getting pushed out of a small area, and then you're poof, you know, you've got oxygen, you got air, is affecting, and I don't remember what it was, but it's affecting something. Do you know anything about that? Do you believe that? You know, again, that. You know, I don't know.
I'm afraid that I can't speak intelligently to that.
Yeah.
I'm an educated man, but I got nothing, man. This is not my circus, not my monkey.
Yeah. That's why I figured I'd ask it.
Yeah, mate. I look, and see, this is the thing. The first step of the scientific process is observation, right? So we observe what happens. We observe that kids are not as well developed, that have gone through the birthing canal, or that have come out by C-section. So we do observations at first. Then we do, you know, then we start doing studies, right? This is how science starts. And this is what I want to tell the kids. You can do science everywhere. Science is everywhere. And don't let anybody fool you that they are science, or my word is the word of science. No. Mm-hmm. The only truism in science is that science is always to be questioned. Right. It's not my science, it's the science. This way, you're away from it. It's not yours. You don't have ownership of it. It's the science, right? So if it's wrong, and sometimes science is, because, like, we used to think that, you know, blood was a certain thing, and we didn't know that it circulated around the body. Oh, wait, what? Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden we're giving people all these, you know, antibiotics, which had never been thought of, and all the, you know, so we're like practicing, right? So you learn each time, science improves, right? So learn, observe, figure out what's going on, question the dumb requirements, and try and push those changes, you know?
And two things I want to honor you on. You were hand-picked, and you saved, with the team, what was it, 252 submarines? When you were in the Navy, it was a while ago.
Okay.
You were handpicked to international rescue. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Gross over exaggeration. So I was handpicked to do that job because the guy who wanted to be relieved by me. I was known as a diver in the Navy. I was a diver's diver. So great. They picked me and I could do that. That was no problem. So in practice simulations of rescuing submariners down on a protocol, here's the submarine, it's down on the bottom, we go down. Yes, we rescued 252 people in a simulated environment, never actually did a rescue, you know, in the interest of full disclosure. I don't like, you know, stolen valor. There are people that have rescued people from submarines. I don't think any of them are still alive, but they get the Medal of Honor.
Right. I know it was a simulation, but yeah, it was very, very good though. I mean, holy hell, you know.
That's what we did. That's what I did for 3 years of my life. Mm. It was okay. Not a lot of drinking of alcohol because you're on call 24/7, 365 to be 72 hours time to first rescue. Sub goes down. You call me. I got 72 hours to get over the top of you and get to the first person being rescued out of that boat. Oh, it was hard.
Yeah. And then I had saw when I was reading through everything, you had expertly managed $1 billion. He was managing $1 billion with the defense plan. Could you elaborate on that? I mean, so, managing
a lot of money.
That's a lot to manage, here, buddy.
Don't
mess up.
I'm a level three program manager with DAWEA, which is the Defense Acquisition Workforce Doctrine that basically tells you how much level of funding you can manage. So my funding, my TOA, my able to manage was $1.4 billion across the FYDP. Now the FYDP is the fiscal year, right? So that's 7 years of funding. So across that 7 years, it's $1.4 billion. Look, man, it's money management and it's OPM. It's other people's money. So it's real easy. The only thing you got to do is make the zeros match at the end and you're good, right? It's just money management, people management, right? But I was a naval officer for 28 years, right? It's not like this is my first rodeo. I didn't just walk into the military and go, here, it's $1.4 billion. You can do whatever you want with it. No. We had a program of record here with the da 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 da. I mean, there are wickets there, and you got so much oversight. Oh, you think you have oversight where you are? Oh, hold on. What did you eat for breakfast today? What did your person have in their oatmeal? I'm like, oh God, I don't know. But you get lots of congressional oversight or other oversight. You know, I don't know how many staffers I talk to that I just smile and shake my head. I'm like, oh wow, you're a congressional. Oh,
okay. Oh boy, here we go. Yep.
Okay.
And then tell us about how you had rewritten part of the manual for the Navy, and congratulations that they put that
Thank
in.
You.
That is amazing. Yeah. And that was just early on.
So the Navy dive manual was basically, Navy does a lot of good things, a lot of things very well. However, one of those is not progress, right? So in the civilian diving community, which I was a civilian diver as well, we were making these advances. And I was like, okay, why is the Navy not keeping up with this? And like, we keep up with it, it's the same thing. And I'm like, no, it's not, so let's change it. So I proposed to change the Navy diving manual to include this extra gas that we were using, decrease decompression obligation, yada, yada, yada. Long story short, it takes like 5 years to get this iteration through. They write it, and then now I'm a co-author, whatever they call it, a contributor. That's what they call it. They call it a contributor to the Navy Dive Manual. Because, you know, the Navy Dive Manual is written by this place called NAVC-OOC. They're the people that are in charge of diving for the entire Navy, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody that dives falls under that dive manual, and that's that. So, you know, it has to be one repository, and, you know, yeah, I helped write that. And it's just one of those things. Once again, right place, right time with the right set of chutzpah and the previous experience that I go, wait a minute, we do this in the civilian world. Can we do something like that? And then I sat on a committee and we talked about it. And, you know, there was meetings and committee meeting minutes. And we talked about, you know, it's crazy. Bureaucracy after bureaucracy is nuts.
Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah, pull up tab six. The Kindle's really good. The last one. I can only imagine your committee under books.
Yeah, Paul.
Right there. Scroll down. Yeah, I wanted to show this to everyone, all the stuff that you're doing with kids. Go down a little bit, Rob. Oh, scroll down.
Yep.
Secrets in Depth. The Kindle's good. I read it over the weekend on Kindle. Easy to go
Did
through.
Did you really?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Thank
you for writing it. I didn't, just when I was researching, I realized it. And the most important thing to me is getting this to the kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's honestly a great book. So, you know, right? So I keep it on my shelf because my daughter and I wrote this book, right?
Oh,
and
cool,
then we had
man.
It professionally illustrated, right? So my daddy wears a different kind of suit to work. And it was about how dad came home and told her big sea stories, right? I'm a Navy guy. I tell sea stories. I exaggerate a little, right? It's what we do, right? That kind of thing. And it teaches her about the ocean. And here's that time that daddy got bent and went to the round room, right? Decompression chamber.
Yeah, that is so cool.
You know,
cool.
The octopus has a lot of arms and it's, you know, it's really smart, that kind of thing, you know?
That's awesome. And you did that with your daughter.
I did that with my then 13-year-old. Now, as in not today, on the 21st, she'll be 2096. Hold on, 27? My math might be off.
27?
Yeah,
27.
Yeah,
27. Yep. She's old.
Wow.
She's 27.
It goes so fast, huh?
Oh my goodness! No, yeah. Look, man, I love my kids. They're great people, but they're insane and they're individual people. So there's really nothing that you can do. That was her back in the day. That was me with short hair and her. That was on her birthday, right?
Oh, that's so cool. Show us another pick in the book. Show us one that one. Show us another pick. Yeah.
So this was a picture of her as a mermaid, right? That we put in the book to talk about bringing everything together. And then here's the cool part. See that? That's right.
Spanish.
It's in Spanish on
there
the back.
You go, Rob.
Yeah, that's cool. You flip
My daughter translated it to Spanish.
That is so cool, man.
We talk about wearing sunblock and not to use the right sunblock in the ocean and
That is so cool, man.
Now I know we got short on time here, but just a quick question for you.
So cool, bro.
You know, we just saw, I can't remember the name of it, the sub that tried to go down the Titanic and it imploded, and those people unfortunately passed away. Do you think there will ever be a time in the near future? You know, everybody's worried about exploring space, and I think that's fantastic too, but we don't even know what's like below us, per se, in the ocean. Do you think there'll be a time where we can get to those depths and really, really explore?
Yeah. So literally I go through this and I do this presentation pretty often, and I like to get people to understand what we are and where we're going. There have basically been 650 something space travelers that have gone. 54 people completed a suborbital sort of a thing. About 600 have reached low Earth orbit and they just do the circle. 24 have traveled beyond LEO. Those are the cats that did the Hubble Space Telescope, putting it out there. 12 people have walked on the moon. 12 men have walked on the moon as of today, right? Total, we've been in space for 77 person years. 77 person years of space time. However, we are talking about a grand total of 28 people that have been to the bottom of the Mariana Trench. Wow. Why? The bottom of the ocean where we found the partial cure for Alzheimer's. Only 28 people have been down there.
Big pharma. Big pharma.
Like, I don't know. I don't know why.
Big pharma. Why else? Why? Big pharma. Because if you go down there and you find something, then you could take money from them. That's why. Why? There's no other reason why.
It's hard. It truly is hard. As evidenced by the Titan submersible, it's difficult, right? It's costly and it's difficult, right? So, you know, some people have gotten new submersibles going through, you know, and I've seen these things and I get them, and you know, you can make sure that they work and you can get to the bottom of all of the deepest parts on the planet. You can do that. That's easy enough. Victor Vescovo just did it, five deeps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He did it the right way. Now you can do it on the cheap and maybe it won't work as well, but you know, I don't want to comment on that, but what I'm commenting on is the inhabiting the ocean thing. It's the understanding what's going on in the ocean. I mean, what do we have? A couple of percent of the people in the world are scuba divers certified.
Yeah.
A couple of percent, like single digits, 3-5% of the entire world are scuba divers certified. You realize that 70% of the world has got water.
Right?
70%. And like 3-5% of us are scuba diver qualified. Like, wow.
Interesting.
What are you going to do?
Kind of short staffed.
Yeah.
All right, Doc. Thank you for your time. I'm going to set you up with Wim Hof. I'd love to have you on again and talk more about these chambers and all these other things. Congratulations on everything. I've learned a lot.
Yeah, love it.
Thank you again for your time. I know you're a busy man. I really appreciate it.
Now, look, I love this kind of stuff. And you guys do a great job bantering back and forth, so it keeps it interesting.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
Really, I had a lot of fun on this podcast, and that's not always the case. But I did have a lot of fun, truly, on this podcast.
I appreciate it.
You guys let me know when you want me back. I'll come.
And you're right on the West Coast, right? You're in Tampa?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, we're over on the East Coast, so maybe we could set something up. We're over on Palm Beach, so maybe we can get you – maybe one of these days we get you in studio. It would be awesome.
The studio's on the ocean. I can look out the window right now, and there's an ocean.
Wait, have you ever done a podcast from inside Iceberg Chamber?
I have not.
No.
There we go.
I like it.
I like it.
I know a guy.
I got you.
I think I know a guy, too.
I like that idea.
I got a guy for that.
I got two guys for that.
Got a guy?
I got one. I like that idea.
Hey, Doc, forget about it.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Guys, thanks. We'll be thanks, we thank you, man. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you're always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. BlueChew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever the opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. So no visits to the doctor's office, awkward conversations, waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. Does it work? Don't think you need it? Try it free for a month and see. You're going to love it. You could be missing the best sex of your life. They say there's nothing sexier than confidence. And Blue Chew can help give you the confidence where it counts. Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use the promo code MSCS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code MSCS, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. We thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Monster Energy. Tear into a can of the meanest energy drink on the planet, Monster Energy. It's the ideal combo of the right ingredients in the right proportion to deliver a big bad buzz that only Monster can. Monster packs a powerful punch, has a smooth, easy drinking flavor. Athletes, musicians, co-eds, road warriors, metalheads, geeks, hipsters, and bikers dig it. You will too. Monster Energy is more than just the green OG. Monster has Monster Ultra, Juice Monster, Monster Hydro, Rehab Monster, Dragon Tea, Monster Max, Muscle Monster, and many more. Buy on Amazon, buy on Walmart, or go to MonsterEnergy.com and believe me, you'll find a place. Unleash the beast. Monster Energy. This episode is sponsored by Aurora. Do you know what the fastest growing crime in America is? For years, this crime rate has been surging and affecting millions of Americans. I'm talking about identity theft, and there's a new victim every 14 seconds. Yet despite this, those who have had their identity stolen are often shocked when it happens. That's why I'm excited to partner with Aurora, who is sponsoring this video. Aurora is identity theft protection, fraud monitoring, a VPN, password management, and antivirus software all into one easy-to-use app. Their VPN allows you to stay anonymous online by keeping your browsing history and personal information safe and encrypted. Protect you and your family from America's fastest-growing crime. Try Aurora for free for 2 weeks and see if you or anyone in your family's personal information has been compromised. Start your free trial today. Go to aurora.com/MSCS. The link is in the description below.